B-Pod Studios.
That's an app.
Now.
Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay, Hardy, what does hour number three say? It's the noontime hour on Zolak and Bertrand. It's hour number three of this show. Huh. What does hour number three of the podcast listing say for TNR today?
On the description for hour three of the Touch and Rich podcast today, it says, on this hour, colon, former Patriots safety Brandon Merriweather, no capitalization, joins the show. Actor
Great interview, by the way. Hilarious.
Yes. Yeah, he was fantastic.
Yep.
Actor Terrence Howard is quitting acting for science and explains something that doesn't make a lot of sense. Jeff Howe.
I take that back. Like, I wouldn't say, hey, bring my kid in his fifth grade class in. I would say bring a kindergarten class in to write these.
Jeff Howe, not capitalized on Howe, from The Athletic, joins the show and discusses which, capitalized.
It is, hey, Halloween is right around the corner.
It discusses which Pats will come off the IR. Is that what he was on to talk about?
Is that
about?
Where you come off?
Period. If Buffalo could be trouble this week, period. Plus more, exclamation point.
Oh, that, you know what, what really would get hooked
plus
me
more
is the more part of that. Because I'm like, if you only have Howell on to talk about that.
My favorite sentence is, if Buffalo could be trouble this week, period.
See, this is going to piss Fred off. You know what? Fred won't get pissed. He won't. Because he thinks Nick's dumb. Doesn't he? Not dumb.
What? Feels a little strong.
Yes. Not dumb. Just, he knows he would screw it up. It's probably not even Nick that read it. This may be Bird. Not a flight bird. Of man bird.
I don't know whose job it is to write the descriptions.
For I'm going to tell you this. This ain't Lockhart. There's no way.
I doubt it.
No way. That dude's too good.
But I'm enjoying this. I am enjoying it. 617-779-0985. Started the day today talking about Jacoby Brissett and the idea that somehow the Patriots got it wrong by trading him away. I don't believe that at all. That's Ben Rollins taking the globe today. And I'm not buying that, so.
No, because, I mean, the guy would have been cut here.
They were going to cut him.
I know for a fact he would have been cut here.
Oh, that sounds like a report.
Not a report at all. People I
you
talked
say you
to, they
know
were
it
ready,
for a fact?
They were ready, prepared to cut him.
Your people tell you he was getting cut if he wasn't getting traded.
As I recall, that came together after 5 p.m. on Friday.
Yeah, it happened on Saturday.
Late Friday evening it started. Quickly they got that done.
So he
to
was
to the point where, yep, tie it up, put a bow on it, we're good. Okay, we got you another. They viewed it as we're acquiring, we're going to cut a guy, but instead we get another former first-round pick that we could rehabilitate from a football standpoint, maybe resurrect his career a little
bit. Yeah, well, I mean, listen.
Which it has.
By all accounts.
Phil's been a good player.
Great teammate, has a lot of leadership qualities, as we like to highlight quite a bit. They don't call him the Pied Piper for nothing.
He was the guy babysitting Michael Floyd, too. Remember that?
I know.
Yeah, he was the guy. Sort of driving him around, picking him up.
Bill Parcells speaks very highly of him.
Yep.
Someone who had sort of mentored him through the process of coming into the NFL. So, great. Glad it's working out for him. No way should the Patriots have, like, held on to him when they let him go. And they still had Jimmy Garoppolo, by the way, on the roster. They hadn't yet parted with Jimmy Garoppolo. He was still here.
You still had 8 games to play to figure out, was the quarterback hitting a cliff or not? That's what you gambled on. We were going prepared to cut one guy with the assumption that Jimmy was going to be the successor. And if things didn't go well, we had bought time until Halloween to where we could make a move with Garoppolo.
It's just such hindsight.
And Brady outlived the plan.
2+ years later to say that. Like, come on.
I mean, I'll even give it to Mavs. Like, okay, kid's record's 11-2. He's good. Like, Garoppolo. We're not cutting it any other way. I like Jimmy. Jimmy's a good player. But to sit here and say that this guy could have been a predecessor. No, this guy was the successor. Not predecessor. Successor. No. Wasn't even up for debate at the time. It's like revisionist history. Okay, he went somewhere and it exploded. Okay, what if you out on a key mix, man? Boy, your defensive line maybe could have been really good 2 years ago and won you that Super Bowl.
Well, that's
Bowl
a better against. Argument. At least Akeem Hicks was a player here. A guy who played in your defense.
This wasn't going to happen here. They were never going to keep these.
They tried to keep him. He didn't want to be here.
The real reason they kept the three is because they knew the quarterback was going to get suspended the year prior. Why do you think they kept three? Brady wasn't here for the first month. He was on some boat somewhere. Remember, it was Jimmy and him. And it's the kid that taped it up. At least went and played hurt.
All right, let's go to your phones. Kevin's in New Hampshire. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, fellas. Big fan of your show, first-time caller. I want to get back to what Zoe was talking about at the beginning of your show about young quarterbacks in this league. And I think I have a solution I'd like to get your opinion on. Right now we have a 53-man roster, and we have a 10-person practice squad with a lot of rules, the most onerous of which is you got to cut a player before you can sign him to that. So what I'm saying is we maybe have 9 players on the practice squad. We pull one guy aside as sort of like the 53A player, and we make that person the third-string quarterback. And you're allowed to put somebody directly in there and take them directly out of there. If your number one quarterback, great example, Sam Darnold, gets mono, you make Sam Darnold the number three guy, and you move this guy from the 53A slot up onto the active roster. And, you know, they can go between that the entire time. And the beauty of that is it allows...
I'll stop you there. We kind of used to have this in the designated quarterback rule when I was playing where you
But that was
you
really
be
the
active
game day.
Until,
that was
it's
really,
a game
he's
day
talking about actual
protection. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
They should. They should adopt something like the
47th.
The 47th man rule.
Yeah.
Well, wait. Wasn't it 45 on game day? And then they made it 46.
Yeah.
So they expanded the game day roster is what they did.
Yes.
It was 2011 they did it. So it used to be, here was the rule.
And then teams stopped carrying 3 quarterbacks after that.
So what it was, two extra players was up until, I think it was...
Everybody wasn't abiding by the...
I think it was 2011 was when it changed.
For your benefit. Right.
Third quarterback rule went away in 2011.
See, and this place even doubled it down more to where you could find a guy that could actually play a little bit.
It was. It was 2011.
The punter and also serve as a backup.
Through the 2010 season... On game days, you had a 45-man roster limit, but you could have a 46 guy if it was a designated quarterback. So you could have a third quarterback there as the third quarterback and the 46th guy. Then they said, let's do away with this and just expand it to 46, and you have whoever the hell you want for 46 guys. That's related just to roster in game day stuff. Maybe they should institute some sort of rules, though, where you can pay a guy... Whose only quarter it's designated strictly for quarterback, extra slot on your roster just for quarterbacks, where you can pay a real salary, you're on the team like a development position for quarterbacks, you're not getting practice squad money, you're getting actual salaried money, right? You're getting the league minimum.
They can't do that with Obi, Melifonwu. Like they're paying him a ton of money.
Where you don't have to stash a guy and IR him, right? You don't have to do any of that crap.
Yeah, as far as a developmental piece.
No, you develop a quarterback on your roster by bringing him on. You get an extra roster slot where you can pay a guy, keep him on your roster, and he's a quarterback. And it has to be a quarterback. Like the third quarterback rule, but for your roster, not for your game day roster.
The International Pathway Project for quarterbacks?
Instead of the IPP?
QB.
It's the... EQB, the extra quarterback.
Yeah. Do they have enough hours in the week and hours of practice time in the offseason to even use 3 quarterbacks anymore?
No, but I mean, you get a guy like Mick.
Isn't that the problem? Isn't that why?
What do you mean?
So it's not a coincidence to me that as the new CBA took effect, in less practice time and less hours on the field with these guys, there's less quarterbacks. There's only so many reps they can have. There's not two-a-days. You're not having as much practice time. There's no need to rest guys because you're already resting them. You're limited to the hours you can use them. How are they going to develop somebody if you can't get reps in practice?
Yeah, I still think you could figure it out. Still better to have somebody here than not have him here. League minimum, third roster spot for just quarterbacks to develop younger or guys who have been kicking around for a couple of years that need to find a home and a real coach. And you know why this would be great? Because it would strongly benefit the New England Patriots. That's why it would be great for Bill Belichick if he could just bring in an extra quarterback and just have him here to develop him. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number.
Oh, that's funny.
I have a text message from the web department about the recaps.
Well, me not make voice text to
someone says
Spurt, it's, isn't it?
Someone Spurt. Says it's a effing train wreck. Here's the action
it's
update.
Bird. It's Bird. Unbelievable.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand from Gillette Stadium, 617-779-0985. Let's go to Kevin in Attleboro. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, hi, Kevin.
How are you?
Hey.
Question for Zoe.
Yeah.
Do you think the Patriots should have an interest in Michael Crabtree? I think he really didn't have much of a chance in Attleboro. I mean, the guy has 637
receptions. When was he in Attleboro?
What's that?
You just said he was in Attleboro.
Didn't have much of a chance in Attleboro.
He didn't have much of a chance in Attleboro.
When was he down there in Attleboro?
I'm sorry.
Tell me Attleboro signed him.
What's Attleboro? Now, they got North.
They got North Attleboro.
North Attleboro and Attleboro.
Attleboro's like
more dirty. What are the mascots down there in Attleboro? What do you got for mascots?
You got the Big Red.
Nope, that's in North Attleboro. Well, I'm in Attleboro. We're blue. I think we're, you want to know what? I really don't know. All my kids are way out of high school, and I'm really from Rhode Island.
Huh.
So. But I meant to say Arizona, and
right.
I think
I know what you're saying.
I think the Patriots should have an interest. I mean, the guy has about 637 receptions. He's big. He knows how to get open.
Yeah,
oh, someone's looking up the
new quarterback.
Today.
He's productive. I think he runs good routes. I've always been interested
Thanks,
in him.
Kevin.
And this has been going on for a while, where he's out there, and they really haven't shown much interest in him. So if you haven't shown much interest when you were more desperate for a receiver, hard to think they'd be in on it now. But I mean. You'd get it dirt cheap. This guy's not coming in here to make a ton of money. And he's a veteran. He's got good numbers.
32.
I think he plays hard.
32. This is where they start to drop off.
Hey, Tlaib doesn't like him, but he's a guy that they ripped the chain off, right?
He had 54 catches last year.
Mama gave me that chain.
54 catches last season in Baltimore. Admittedly, I didn't see him play a lot last year, so I don't know what he's got left in the tank.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Probably not much. Probably not much. But I mean, that's a veteran name that I would pop and say, "Hey, okay, take a peek here." You know, if you're desperate to bring somebody in, I don't know if they're that yet.
Are they? I don't know if they're desperate yet.
I'm desperate, but if you want to add something, and the quarterback talks about,
I mean,
some depth
that could help your decision on who to bring back from IR. See, though, if you can get how much worse is he than N'Keal Harry?
Let me ask you this:
versus bringing back Isaiah Wynn and James Devlin, you know what I mean? Like. To make the roster work out?
Let me ask you this.
Is there what's the gap between Michael Crabtree and Jacoby Myers?
Probably a lot because he would be a new guy.
So you're saying
I would say Myers would be better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I sort of look at it. Like, okay. Myers has been working here for 8 weeks. He's got 8 weeks in already. He knows what's happening. He knows what he's doing.
So to preserve the position and to make sure that Edelman's right, can you go into Buffalo with Dorsett, with Myers, with Gordon, with Olszewski, with James White being back, with Burkhead, and can you beat Buffalo and Buffalo without
Yes.
Edelman?
Yeah, you can.
The answer is yeah. I sit Edelman this week.
I don't.
I don't force him through anything. If that thing is cartilage, which I think it is, and that's something like you could kind of shoot up or, I mean, I've had that torn rib cartilage from hits. Like, and it's, you're better off breaking a rib than you are having that cartilage linger around. Like, don't put a needle in there and shoot it up, but it's tight and something feels funny there. I wouldn't force this guy to make him have something ticky-tack lingering with him all year long. You know, his whole game's predicated on 90 miles an hour. You know, speed, energy. I want him playing with something.
Let's go to.
I know he's tough as balls, okay?
Mike's in the truck. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Yeah, you stole my thunder earlier about the three guys on IR. But
we disagree. Zoe and I disagree. Who would you bring back?
I would bring back Devlin, and I would bring back N'Keal Harry. They can, that new house is serviceable. Jacoby Myers and Josh Gordon with Edelman in and out. You don't know how he's going to be. That extra weapon on the outside edge would be huge. Even though N'Keal Harry, you know, he's been here for 8 weeks, 10 weeks, whatever, since the beginning. He's a first-round pick. He's got to have talent and a weapon for Brady. And the last thing about the quarterback situation for the third man in, you know, Edelman is a backup quarterback, and so is Jacoby Myers. When he was in high school and first year of college, he was a quarterback. So Pats have emergency situations for quarterback situation. Don't worry about that. Belichick thinks of a lot of things when he drafts people. I'll let you guys talk. But N'Keal Harry and Devlin are going to be huge.
Okay. I'm not worried about that right now. I'm not. Are you?
No.
We were talking about the league on the whole and their quarterback problem.
Yeah.
Because it felt like last year we were saying, oh, look at all the great young quarterbacks. This league's finally got the quarterback thing figured out.
Do they?
They've got a long list of great young quarterbacks. And now that we've seen them for a little bit, it doesn't feel like those young quarterbacks are all that good.
Yeah, you like watching Mariota and company on Thursday Night Football. You like
that?
Well,
wait a minute. We've always said Mariota sucks.
Yeah, but don't throw him in. Throw Trubisky in. Let's go. Keep going. How about Baker Mayfield?
No, Baker Mayfield.
Did he hang the moon?
Baker Mayfield is
Murray's boy. Murray likes watching bad football. Kidding.
Baker Mayfield is on the list of the young guys that people got very excited about. I think the shine might be off a little bit there.
Like, what's Lamar Jackson?
No, he's
I don't
trending.
Think we kind of know yet.
He's trending in the right direction, though.
He's trending in the right direction. But again, once you get on filming that, and then we'll see those guys in a couple weeks. See how he does against our defense.
Let's go to. I'm sorry. Just want to go to the people who've been waiting a long time. Matt and Stoughton. Matt.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey.
So, talking about IR, now you're talking about bringing back two of the three guys. I mean, for me, I'd be bringing back Devlin and Wynn. Maybe because the line's going to have some depth. But I would actually even think that I'm not sure that they'd even bring back a second guy yet. I think it's too early. It's week four. I don't know if Belichick would be willing to give up that second IR spot for fullback, or N'Keal Harry is an unproven commodity at this point.
I'm not sure I understand what you mean. Why would you not bring back a second guy?
No, not saying not right now. Would you want to use your last IR spot right now if week four, let's say Brady goes down? Let's say Edelman goes down later. Do you want to burn up that second IR spot?
I get what you're saying. So you're saying if someone were, well, first of all, you got weeks before you get to that point, but I understand what you're saying.
I mean, you only have this to week eight.
Right. If someone were to get hurt this week, but you have weeks until you bring him back anyway.
Right.
Yeah, and it extends beyond week eight because you can go to the playoffs.
Okay, we
so
get
a couple weeks.
Right, so you're saying if someone were to get hurt, you know, in week, what's the minimum stay on it?
Eight.
8 weeks?
8 weeks, you can't practice till 6 weeks after.
Okay, so if someone were to get hurt in week eight,
look how good
you
could
put him on IR and bring him back at the end of the regular season before the playoffs.
Look how good Burkhead was.
Or if week nine, you can bring him back after week one of the playoffs.
Yeah, remember right. Burkhead? Burkhead was huge for you last year.
Yeah, that's a good point. Do you want to burn one of those spots worrying about the possibility of another major injury down the road?
Depends what your team looks like by then. If Cannon stays upright and Newhouse works out, I don't worry about winning right now. So that takes one off the board for you. You know?
Interesting. Well, a lot of questions about how well does Jakob play? Jakob.
It's Johnson or is it Johnson?
That's a great guy. I think it's Johnson, but who are we to say?
I think Bird from the
if it's Jakob, why isn't it Johnson?
Jakob Johnson.
Would spell,
he says Jakob. Johnson. He's a Johnson.
Jakob.
Jakob Johnson.
Would Bird spell it with a Y?
Jakob Johnson.
Touch and Rich talked about Jakob Johnson. Y-A-K-O-B. Jakob.
Jakob Johnson.
Johnson. Jakob. Justin. Hey, Justin.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hi. How
good,
are
good.
You?
Good, good. So I had to ask Zoe this question. With the amount of crap he's given about not being able to pronounce charcuterie, on the Shaw's commercial played during the Patriots game, it is, you say charcuterie. Did you do that on purpose, or did you just mess
what
up?
Do you think
and,
what do you think I did? What do you, honestly, what do you think?
I think you did it on purpose, but I have
right
to... Okay,
it's got me free food
since
from
the
it,
first
okay?
time I heard it. I wanted to call and ask last week, but with all the Antonio Brown stuff going on,
it
wasn't
Shaw's.
Appropriate yet.
You did not do that on purpose.
Charcuterie.
You did not do that on purpose.
Charcuterie.
You did not do that on purpose.
Maybe she bought a board at home. I have a board for cheeses.
Is it still running?
What? Oh, yeah. I hear it every game day.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yes, big Y.
It's memorable.
For all your stuff. Charcuterie. Oh.
To a degree, he got the supermarket wrong, but.
Well, at least we're not Stephen Gilmore anymore.
Oh, what?
Well, we were Stephen Gilmore.
Who said that?
Oh, we had a couple things going on.
Oh. Well, I'm glad we fixed
that one.
Glad we fixed it. Glad we got that sorted out.
We'll get Bird all cleaned up for tomorrow.
Oh, that's good. 617-779-0985. Can I throw in a quick Red Sox item this hour? Is that okay? Is that acceptable?
If you want, yeah.
We're still getting your calls on the Patriots items, the injured reserve items.
Does this have to do with the trolling the other night?
Trolling?
Of Nathan Eovaldi?
Trolling?
What fans trolling? Trolling Nathan Eovaldi on Twitter?
I didn't see that.
Oh, I get okay. Oh, yeah, you can do something.
I guess Zoe's got a Red Sox item to talk about, too.
What's your item? You got an item?
Maybe got a Red Sox.
Okay. Yep. Zoe, on trolling Nathan Eovaldi. Yeah.
Nice job, Tampa. Way to support your playoff team, potential playoff team. Right?
Okay.
Last night.
And I'll have a more serious Red Sox item next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
'86 summers gone by, Bambino put a hex on the bean. We were living on a tear and a sigh, in the shadow of the Bronx machine. Man, you could feel it smolder, hold down at an attitude. And you get a little chip on your shoulder, say something that's downright rude.
What is this about Nathan Eovaldi, Zoe? You need to update me on that because I don't know anything about it.
I don't know anything.
Picking up on the cream of the crop, stealing everyone's favorite son.
That's all you got?
Turn this off. Try to think. God, when did he pitch last? Was it 3 days ago?
What did you think you would see?
I was in the bathroom.
He started Sunday.
Okay, so right? He started Sunday. So it was Sunday night late. So
I was in the bathroom.
Game, and I'm just scrolling through post-game stuff, and something popped up on... And I don't follow many. I don't follow any baseball writers. Finn, I think Chad Finn's the closest thing to baseball guy that I follow, and he didn't have it either. And I'm like, somebody had an article on Sox fans trolling Eovaldi.
You don't
Twitter.
Follow Carrabas?
No.
Wow.
Maybe he did. I couldn't take the exclamation points and the bottles at and game over, ching quarters of the machine. It just got a little repetitive. Because it was like same thing, 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 same thing. I just couldn't do it anymore. But I go to Carrabas, and I'll go to him if I need something. But there was something on Eovaldi. People trolling Eovaldi on Twitter, and I just can't remember it. So it's on me.
Okay.
So
All right.
But did you see Jackie Bradley throw that guy out from
Mookie Betts?
Mookie Betts threw that guy out in a ball
in
the corner.
Yeah.
That was one of the best throws I've ever seen. Like, Jesus. At least he's playing. Trying.
He was shocked. His reaction, his facial reaction was...
Was he shocked the guy tried to...
I think he was shocked he reached it in the air.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. That was a hell of a throw.
Couple of items.
Oh, my God. It's the Cordell Stewart, Ty Law play. Wow.
On a television here in the studio.
Yeah, man. That was it.
Uh-huh.
Dude, that was 60 in the air, man. That was a good throw.
All right.
Wow.
Great. Okay. This is something we did not get to last week because we have been focused on everything going on with the Patriots. Alex Speer had a story last week, about a week ago now. What kind of baseball operations leader are the Red Sox looking for?
Uh-huh.
He writes, barring an effort to reel in an established star executive, such as Theo Epstein, Billy Beane, Jeff Lunau, or Andrew Friedman, the Red Sox seem likely to seek a more collaborative model between ownership and their next head of baseball operations. Collaborative model between ownership and their next head of baseball ops. The Red Sox spent the last 4 years with a strong roster foundation that allowed them to place a heavy emphasis on immediate needs that were pursued by Dombrowski in a straightforward fashion. Their need for more long-range thinking suggests an area where ownership-level input is likely to increase.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy is right. So now John Henry and Tom Werner,
so
maybe?
Wait a minute. So after all the years owning this team and all the good that they've done and their ability to, whether it's your baseball guy or not, but let the baseball guy run the baseball team and you do your thing and you go do your TV, you do your soccer, and Larry will go.
I don't meddle. Remember that?
Yes.
I don't meddle.
What are you doing now at the, how old's he now?
Now he wants to
now
meddle.
Now you want to be Jerry Jones.
Now he wants in.
I don't. Four championships later, right?
Four championships later, done,
and you want a medal.
With all the dysfunction, it seems, at times, and all the drama that has played out there, they've won four World Series
after
along
last
the way.
Year. After last year, now you want to medal. I would say this, though. If this new guy wants to sign the last three pitchers the way... the last guy wanted to sign him, and how you have the $80 million plus locked up in, the big three. I could see saying, you know what, we'll do two. We're not doing three.
Let me ask you a question.
I'm not going to make you pick them, but figure it out.
Right now, if the Yankees were to fire Brian Cashman today, what's a more attractive job, the Yankees or the Red Sox GM job?
Yankees.
Clearly, right?
Yeah.
People would take the Yankees.
You have the now team. You have the farm system. You have massive market. You got that stadium. You have that payroll. You have that support. Yeah.
Who's been spending more money?
Red Sox.
Right. Who's won more?
Recently, Red Sox.
Who's been more aggressive over the last decade?
Red Sox.
Who's been all out at all times? Really? I mean, really, just trying to get right back after
Red Sox.
They have.
Lose Ortiz, get J.D. Martinez. Let's go.
Like, who's been a more committed ownership group over the tenure of John Henry being Red Sox owner? So take that all the way back to 2001, 2002, we'll say, right? First full year of Red Sox. That's when they took over there. First year was 02. Who's been a more committed owner to their team, John Henry or the Steinbrenners since 02? More committed. Just all
Henry.
In, baby.
Henry.
Absolutely. And yet, if...
Really? Or did they just not... Did the Yankees just draft players better than keeping their payroll a little lower?
Well, that one, but I almost
and take... develop the, their own guys
almost,
more.
Almost take
keeping
stand.
Their payroll a little bit lower.
Like, almost take the stand part out of it.
I don't take commitment just by strict money.
As an owner? From an ownership standpoint?
That's everything. That's what? Everything.
A lot of the money the Red
the
Sox...
The owners aren't going to the draft board. The owners are there to give you money as a baseball guy.
If you're a GM,
as a fan saying I have full commitment for my team, I don't take just the money part
of it. If you're a general manager and you want commitment from your owner, what do you want? Dollars. That's it. That's all you want from them. Their money.
Yeah.
But do you think they would have paid that same amount of money if they didn't make so many huge mistakes like Pablo Sandoval and mistakes like that? No.
Those huge mistakes represented commitment too. Huge money.
Dude, the people
went nuts. They're spending good money to overcome the bad money, I would say the Yankees don't have as much bad money.
It doesn't matter. Money is money. It doesn't matter what it is.
So then the highest paid team is always going to be the most committed owner.
Like, you call it bad money.
According to your thing, the highest salary is always going to be the most committed owner.
Yes. The guy who's always spending the most money is always going to be the most committed. The Red Sox have never stopped spending. They have spent.
So Magic Johnson was the most committed owner.
Spent. They just keep spending their money.
People thought Magic.
That's the only way an owner can show commitment.
Players in with LeBron.
That's the only way, unless they're in there, you know, making the picks.
I don't know. Real commitment is running a good organization.
Oh, and hiring the right people
and keeping everything in line.
Sure, that's part of the gig too. But I'm saying, from a GM or baseball ops guy's perspective, the commitment from an owner is in the form of is really. Support.
The commitment is so good. The commitment has been so good that they have to pay the bill this year, and they're going to lose a player or two because they're in the tax because of all those mistakes.
I'm not saying they're mistake-free, but they're not. They've never stopped spending. They've gotten to a point where they're like, okay, we got to reset the tax, but again, it's because of mistakes being made.
Yeah, but you say they reset the tax, but you're going to lose a Mookie Betts maybe.
I get it, Jim, but listen. Let me make the point. They've never stopped spending. They've been more committed to spending money than the Yankees have been. The Yankees have cut back at times, and they've not been as good. The Red Sox have been a better team over this run than the Yankees.
They have.
They've been a better team. More. They've won more.
When's the last time the Yankees won? One in the last 19 years?
2009.
Yeah.
They've won a championship. The Red Sox have won four. 4-1.
Scoreboard. We do this
the money
Patriots.
Is way
Scoreboard.
Higher in the Red Sox
Scoreboard.
Favor. And yet, if Cashman were fired today, people would say, oh, I'm not working for the Reds. I'll work for the Yankees over the Red Sox, which I think speaks to this other point, which is people look at the Red Sox and say, things there are just really unstable all the time, aren't they? It's not just about the money you spend. You got to do that other part. You got to sort of manage it, too. You got to sort of make sure you have some stability. You can't let everything just get crazy all the time. It can't just be about the money. So we ultimately make the same point. I'm just saying, though, despite it being a great ownership support system of resources for the team,
yeah,
for the roster and for the payroll, and winning a lot and always having good players on the team.
Right.
At some point, you're like, what the hell's the work environment at that place? What the hell goes on inside that ballpark?
Well, importance of...
I want that? In fact, Buster only has a column up that says no one wants the job.
When you're going with the Cashman thing, I was like, yeah, I'll take him. I thought that's where you were going with
No. I don't think he's getting fired. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Importance of...
I just think that represents, like, he's not going anywhere because he'll have the job for life if he wants it. There's just this level of stability there that he's their guy and he will be there. The Red Sox have nothing close to that. But who would you rather be? Rather be the Red Sox or rather be the Yankees? I'd rather be the Red Sox. I'd rather take the roller coaster. Give me the roller coaster. Give me the ups and downs. You always take the winning, don't you? There are people in baseball, though, that would pick the Yankees.
Yeah.
There are. There are people in baseball that say, I'd rather just take the one and take the stable, steady environment, steady team, steady building.
Your pitching's in trouble. Here.
There are people that do not like the roller coaster, that don't like the up and down, that don't like the World Series and then, you know, a last place finish. Not that the Red Sox this year are headed for a last place finish, but you know what I'm saying. They've done it before.
You're going to have bets. Do you need a second baseman? Do you need a first baseman? Do you need a backup catcher? Do you need another starter? Do you need a closer? I mean, they need a lot. There's a lot of needs with not a ton of payroll. So that's what that next guy's stepping in. Oh, with actually no farm system, too. So.
Would you make sure that Brandon Workman's on the roster for next year?
No.
John Tomasi has him as an untouchable for next year.
Ha ha ha.
It's an untouchable.
Fun.
I don't get that. He's got Bogarts, Devers, J.D. Martinez, E-Rod, and
stupid,
Brandon Workman.
That stupid song again.
I don't get that. All the things.
Give me that. Thank you.
I don't get that. I get the first four. I don't agree with him on Martinez, but... Workman, just because he's cheap? I don't know about that. 617-779-0985. If you got some Red Sox thoughts, happy to talk about the Red Sox as well. I'm sure we'll be doing more of that in the coming weeks as they try and figure out what they're going to do with their front office. Still haven't heard from the owners, by the way. Feel free to say something at any time. Back to your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Six 617-779-0985 Glenn and Natick had a Red Sox thought.
Oh,
today. Hi, Glenn.
Hi.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. How you doing?
Here's my big beef with ownership. Obviously, they've done great over the years, but don't you think that after they won the World Series, going forward, they have their spreadsheets. They know what the luxury tax is going to look like in the next year or two. And then why would they sign off on Sale and Eovaldi deals? Can you explain that to me? Because that's where I don't quite understand. That's poor planning on their part. If all of a sudden now they're concerned about the luxury tax.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is poor planning, and I also think that they're not blameless in that. The way they want to be blameless in that, they want to put it all on Dave Dombrowski. It sounds like it was quite a bit his decision to do that, and he pushed for that. They should have waited on Sale. They didn't have an option to do that on Eovaldi. It was either do you want the player or do you not, even though it seems like they were bidding against themselves. That I don't get. But they're not blameless in that. Like, they just want to say, oh, it's Dave Dombrowski. Well, you could have told him no. He had to push you to do it. So that obviously indicates he was seeking your permission. You could have, if now you want to get involved, you could have gotten involved then. You're still his boss. You could have said no. Dave, no. Wait till the end of the year. It's a big sum of money, and we don't want to pay it yet. We'll pay more next year if he works out, if he's healthy. And that's it. They could have done that. They chose not to. They're not blameless. I think when it comes to that luxury tax, what are you watching?
What a throw. Good.
I think when it comes to that luxury tax, they don't want to pay it because they just fundamentally disagree with it on a fundamental level. That just, it bugs them right to their core. They hate subsidizing the bad teams in baseball. Man, that was such a throw by Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Man.
They hate paying for the Rays or for the Royals or for any other small market crappy team or that doesn't, you know, do their part in earning their money or whatever. Name a bad small market team. Name a team. The Marlins.
Tampa.
I named them already.
All right.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
They hate that.
Pittsburgh.
Drives them crazy.
I mean, you'd consider Pittsburgh small market, right?
A little bit.
From a baseball standpoint, yeah.
Yeah. They hate the revenue-sharing aspect of the sport, which I get, because I think baseball's got some issues with not giving teams enough of an incentive to get better. There's too much incentive to just keep doing what you're doing. But that's a different topic for a different day. And part of me believes that it's not just about the fact that they have to pay so much money in the tax. It's that they are so against paying the money and that extra money that they then have to watch go to other teams as opposed to guys playing for them on their roster. Paul's in Rhode Island. Hi, Paul.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I must apologize for yesterday's call. I said that Adam Vinatieri was coming out of retirement, but this is last year. I just wish he would come here and basically inherit a nice Super Bowl if that happens. But I really don't want this to happen if if, like, when the Caldwell dropped the ball in the 35-yard line, and Eli Manning should never have a second Super Bowl. But what are you going to do?
You sound like Don Corleone's counsel.
Good one.
I think what you want to do is get one of these Italian kickers to come in here and just hand him a Super Bowl.
Well, they don't appreciate Italian kickers. There's not many left. And if we get invaded by the women, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But don't forget, that's a critical position. And I think if we lose a Super Bowl or a playoff game because of inconsistency of kicking, that might happen. Yeah. And Joe,
what,
and I got to say, Joe.
What drop are you talking about with Caldwell? Are you talking about Rishay Caldwell?
Yeah, the guy who dropped the ball on the 35-yard line in against the Giants. Am I correct?
What? I'm confused. Oh, you're talking about Welker.
Welker. He's talking about Wes Welker.
Yeah.
Like Caldwell.
We get invaded by the women.
He's talking about Wes Welker's drop.
Caldwell did drop an important pass, but it was the other Manning.
He's talking about Peyton Manning in the 2006 AFC title game. Rishay Caldwell dropped one in that one, which will haunt him forever. He dropped a pass in that game. Welker dropped one in 2007. Wow. Welker. Holy smoke.
Adam Benateri.
He's talking about Carly Lloyd, right? The invasion of the women?
I don't know.
Is that what he's talking about? That's the way I took it.
Are they big women? Because sometimes when
The women kickers.
The women are invading.
I think that's what he was talking about.
I think he's talking about the big women that come out of spaceships, and it's like the Amazons.
Adam Benateri.
Rhode Island, Jim, your people.
Oh, man. Is Rishay Caldwell still in prison?
What, do you have weed in his trunk? Yeah, you have weed, right? You sound weed?
Do. I'll try and find out.
Arrested May 14th, 2014. Possession, intent to distribute. On January 30th, 2015, sentenced to 27 months in federal prison and three years probation. So he's probably out.
He's probably out. He's out. Assuming he got out on time and nothing else happened.
Charges involving marijuana and ecstasy. Not a lot of people rolling on X anymore.
No, the Molly? Out of style?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I haven't heard much about that since they were on at the horse race, right?
The MDMA?
We should find out. We'll ask our intern, you know, some kid who's in the club scene, like Big Nate. Nate? Kid's still rolling on
X? Zero chance that kid's ever been in the club.
Rubbing up against each other in the clubs?
I like him, though.
You know, getting off on the whole just, you know, like tingly skin feelings. Hello?
Get real hot on that stuff.
Nate?
What you hear?
If we get invaded by the women.
Yeah. And go home.
How do you sell that? Like,
people need to go home cartoons and sit in a cold bath after they get home.
Those women, they come out of the spaceship.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.